Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16, where we read as follows in the name of Jesus. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jesus comes in the name of the Lord, so said the adoring crowds on the first Palm Sunday when he rode into Jerusalem, the holy city, riding on a donkey. Jesus comes in the name of the Lord, so sings the adoring church of Jesus Christ in the words of the Sanctus, sung before the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Advent is that season of the church year when the church specifically directs her attention to the coming of Jesus in the name of the Lord. The word Advent means coming. There are three distinct comings or advents of Jesus. His first advent was when he was conceived by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. His first advent is described in detail in the New Testament, especially in the four Gospels. Although he was the ruler of the whole world, he chose to become the son of a young virgin girl who had no status or power. The Lord over all creation chose to live a life of poverty and service to others. Instead of demanding that his disciples serve him, he served them, and so gave them an example to follow. He was the judge of all mankind, yet he judged no one. Instead of judging sinners, he forgave them. The Samaritan woman at the well, who had been married five times and was living with a man, not her husband. The woman caught in adultery, who was about to be stoned by an angry mob. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who made his money cheating the poor. And many other notorious sinners found in Jesus a gracious and loving Lord. And finally, this Almighty God, this Lord over all creation, this eternal judge of all people, endured the humiliation of betrayal, whipping, mockery, and crucifixion. The first advent of Jesus appears to be a colossal failure. But it is not. He rises from the dead. He ascends into heaven. He is even now seated at the right hand of God, from whence he will return to judge the living and the dead. That will be his second advent. He will return to judge. The whole world will be brought before him. He will look right into the depths of the heart and soul of everyone, and his omniscient gaze will bring to light everything that was hidden. The first advent of Jesus was in humility to save sinners. The second advent of Jesus will be in glory to judge sinners. And here we are, between the first and second advents. It is his present advent, his coming to his church today, to which we turn our attention. Listen once more to the voice of God recorded by Jeremiah the prophet. Let me put this into more of a context by including verse 15 of this chapter. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now these words, recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, in chapter 33 of the book that bears his name, are very similar to words that he recorded in chapter 23 of the same book. In chapter 23, he also wrote of a branch of righteousness. He also spoke of Judah and Israel being saved. And he gave a name to the branch of righteousness. The name? The Lord our righteousness. Well, now, here in chapter 33, the prophet repeats in very similar words the same promise of the coming of that branch of righteousness. But there is one important difference. Whereas in chapter 23, he calls the branch of righteousness by the name the Lord our righteousness, here in chapter 33, he calls Jerusalem by the name the Lord our righteousness. Now, this is truly a wonderful prophecy to which all Christians should pay close attention, because these words are intended for us. The church is the new Jerusalem. All those who have put on the Lord Jesus Christ are members of the church. According to St. Paul, we put on Christ in holy baptism. Now, this isn't just a one-time thing. We are constantly putting on Christ as we daily repent of our sin and trust in the gospel given to us in baptism and in the Word in the sacrament. But listen here to this beautiful description of the Holy Christian Church that St. Paul provides in Ephesians 5 as he describes what baptism does for the church. He writes, beginning at verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." But how can this be? How can the church be so beautiful? How can the apostle speak of her in such extravagant terms? He says she is glorious. He says she has neither spot nor wrinkle or anything at all like that. He says she's holy and without blemish. Where is this church? I've never seen such a church. Have you? The church I have seen is made up of people who sin. They say false and unkind things about their neighbors. They're dissatisfied with what God has given them. They covet things that belong to others. They're known to cheat and to lie. Sometimes they break their promises. They judge people unfairly. They break the rules. They drink too much. They don't even pay their bills on time. They neglect the needs of others. They consider their own needs to be more important. My goodness, this is just what we see. Think of what God sees. Think of what God sees in you. You know, the things that nobody else can see. There's nothing hidden from his sight. So then how can St. Paul describe Christ's church as he does? Let's go back to the text from Jeremiah and see how he can do this. "This is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Think about this. The name that belongs to Jesus is the name that belongs to his church. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord God. He is the Lord God become flesh. He is the Lord God become flesh for us in order to do in his holy flesh what we in our sinful flesh fail to do. He is the Lord God become flesh for us in order to be that righteous human being that none of us was. He is what his name says he is. He is the Lord, our righteousness. So our righteousness is not in what we have done. What we have done is sin, and even the righteous things we have done are tainted by sin. Only he has done everything well. Only he who comes in the name of the Lord has done everything as it should be done. And his righteousness is ours. It belongs to us, not in the sense that we've done these righteous things to bring about this righteousness, because we haven't. Christ's righteousness is ours because he gives it to us, and we have it when we believe this gospel that gives it to us. He tells us in the gospel that our sins are forgiven. And not only does he tell us about the forgiveness of sins, but he places us into the care of his church, to whom he has entrusted this same forgiveness. Now, this treasure that the church has, the forgiveness of sins, is given to us, and this is how we, the church, through faith, obtain the name the Lord our righteousness. That's our identity. And you know, there is no other Lord but the Lord our righteousness. If you try to find God apart from Christ and his righteousness, you'll only find a fraud, a bully, a fake. All other gods and lords should neither be trusted nor worshipped. They should be avoided, because it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us his righteousness as a gift. No other so-called God can give us sinners what we need. They can make demands that we can't meet, but they'll never give us the forgiveness that we need. The only righteousness that will stand before the Lord God is the righteousness that was done by Jesus. He is the righteous branch of the tree of David the king. No one but the pure and holy virgin-born Son of Mary could bring this righteousness into existence. Only God could do what God requires us to do, and so God became one of us to do it. And that's the meaning of Christ's first advent. Had God appeared to us in his glory, we could not have stood before him. First, he had to appear as a lowly, humble, innocent little baby, an obedient child, a faithful servant, and a lamb offered up as the sacrifice to cancel all our guilt. This is how that Jesus becomes the Lord, our righteousness, and in this way the church gains her identity and name. She is Christian. She has the name of Christ, her Savior. And the Church of Christ is never known for her achievements. She's known for Christ's achievements. Her beauty doesn't come from her. It comes from Christ. The name of Christ is given to his bride, and she receives everything that belongs to him. And so the righteousness that we have through faith in Christ, that is how the Holy Christian Church on earth should be identified. Because we are the church on account of Christ coming to us. And we don't get to see the churchly beauty we possess, but God can see it. Because when we trust in the Lord our righteousness, we receive his righteousness, and then God sees what we have received through faith. He looks at us and he sees the righteousness that has overcome all sin. He sees the love that overcomes hatred. He sees the obedience all the way to the cross, where humility destroys pride. He sees the purity that covers up all sin and deceit and lust and covetousness. God sees the righteousness of Christ whenever he sees the church that bears his name. And that's what we should see too. We shouldn't look at the church just as a bunch of dirty sinners. We should think of the church in terms not of the sins that we see in one another. God's washed those sins away. This is what makes us the Holy Christian Church. We should think of his church in terms of the name God gave her, the Lord, our righteousness. God treats us as saints, and that's how we ought to treat one another. And we thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. I'd like to invite you to the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. On Sundays, we have church at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville at 8 o'clock, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 10:30, and First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile at noon. And on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock, we have Vespers at Grace Lutheran in Crookston, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, Vespers at First American Lutheran in Mayville. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.